If you would turn with us to Genesis chapter number 7, we'll try to preach to you what the Lord's laid on our heart. We have a couple passages I want to read before we begin. Genesis chapter number 7, and I'll begin reading in verse 15. The Bible says, "And they went in unto Noah and to the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him." Now notice this, "And the Lord shut him in." And the Lord shut him in. I also want to read in Philippians chapter number 3, and begin reading in verse number 7. The Bible says, "But what things were gained to me, those things I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but for loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Let's have a word of prayer and ask for the Lord's help. God, we thank you, God, for allowing us this privilege of being in your house once again. And Lord God, we pray to be at this church. And Lord, knowing the circumstances, God, we'd much rather be hearing our pastor preach tonight, God. But Lord, we pray, God, you continue to strengthen them, God, and give them the help and the strength they need. And Lord, we praise you and bless you for it. Lord, help us in this message tonight, God, that we preach, God, what you've laid upon our heart. We ask and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I read in Genesis about Noah, and there was a thought here that spoke to me when the Bible says, "And the Lord shut him in." And I had a thought entitled, the question, "Are you in?" And I thought about the scripture here in Philippians. It says, you know, he names all these things leading up to our text here. He says a Hebrew of Hebrews is touching the law, a Pharisee, and he lists all these things that he could potentially glory in, but he says he counted those things that were gained to me, though I counted loss for Christ. He says, for one thing here, though, he says, "And be found in Him." Amen. I want to be found in the Lord, don't you? I want to be in His Word. And so the thought is tonight, are you in? You know, there's a great difference there between Noah and his family, those that were in and those that were out, wasn't they? Amen. Especially when the water began to come up, there's a great difference between who was in and who was out. And friend, could you imagine today what life would be like, as the brother mentioned there, about having a church family? And not only that, being in Christ Jesus, amen, being saved. Could you imagine what life would be like for those that are saved tonight? Just imagine for a moment what life would be like being an outsider. Amen, being on the outside, looking in. I don't want you to go back there, amen, and camp out. But I want you to think about it for a minute, what it was like before God saved you. And imagine having to face the things of life that we have to face today. Amen, if you was on the outside looking in, amen, the thought is, are you in? Are you in tonight? So what's the difference tonight between those that are in and those that are out? It's simply one thing, it's sin. Amen, sin is what separates. Sin is what puts you on the outside. And I thought about the leper in the Bible, and the law concerning that was if a leper was pronounced unclean, they was to be placed on the outskirts of town. Amen. Outside of their family, outside of the community, and to be an outcast. And when somebody passed by, they were to say, "Unclean, unclean." And friend, what a life of an outcast, and how awful that must have been. And friend, that's the same thing that sin does. Amen. It puts you on the outside. It makes an outcast out of you. But I'm thankful through the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be of the crowd that's on the inside. Amen. And we think about the flood here. and as leading up to the time here of Noah, and how that God was using him to prepare an ark, and how that God was using him to be a preacher of righteousness, the Bible says. And you know, the Bible teaches us that there's pleasure in sin for a season. I imagine that there would have been mockers and scoffers and people that would have laughed at him and ridiculed him. Amen. But they was on the outside. Amen. They had a little bit of fun for a while. But friend, whenever the door was shut and he knew that there was no more opportunities to get in and the water began to rise, amen, the fun was over. They was on the outside wishing they was on the inside. Amen. Are you in tonight? Amen. Our first point tonight is in Him is life. Simply tonight, in Him is life. The Bible tells us here of those that were on the inside, and God give them and sustained them. And the Bible says in chapter number 16 of our text, Genesis chapter number 6 in verse 19, the Bible says, "And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, and to keep them alive with thee, they shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive." Amen. God give them the instructions here to bring this life on the ship, on the ark. And not only that, but in verse 21 the Bible says, "And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and that shall be food for thee and for them." Not only did God preserve their life from the judgment of the flood, but God also made preparations to sustain them. And friend, God does the same for those that are in Christ Jesus today. Amen. He gives us just exactly what we need. And I thought about the manna there in the Old Testament for the children of Israel. Amen. You're talking about a people that had no means to provide for themselves out there in the desert. You know what God said? Amen. "I'll make a way. I'll provide manna for you to come down. Amen. And sustain you." And that manna was something you couldn't add to or take away from it. God gave them just enough. Amen. They couldn't keep any over. Amen. For the next day and try to hoard up. Only except for the Sabbath. Amen. And friend, that's the same thing. God has provided for us just what we need tonight in the world that we live. He's given us His Word. Amen. He's given us the Word of God. We better not add to or take away, amen, from His Word. Amen. That's something that I don't understand, friend. Is why people got to think that they can be critical of God's Word. Amen. And always be doubting, well, does it really mean this? Or try to be correct in God's Word. Amen. The only thing I know to do, amen, when there's something I don't understand, I may not understand it, but friend, I believe it. Amen. I believe that God's preserved His Word for you and I in the King James Bible. Amen. I just haven't enough faith to believe, amen, that God has given us His perfect, inspired Word of God tonight. Just as He provided for Noah and them that were on the inside. Amen. It's a very vast difference between those that were on the inside and those that were on the outside. Amen. When judgment was on the way, He didn't preserve them just so that they can perish. Amen. Because He had a lot invested. Amen. Just with you and I tonight, He's not going to preserve and keep us just so that we can perish. And also, He's not going to preserve and keep us that will have to endure or try to endure and go through the wrath of God. But friend, He is preserving us. Amen. To one day be in glory with Him. Amen. He's got a lot invested in us in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed at Calvary. What a valuable thing tonight to know that the blood has been applied. Amen. I have some scriptures here concerning life and what the Bible says about life in Christ Jesus. The Bible says in Colossians chapter number 3 and verse 3, "For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God." The Bible says in Acts 17:28, "For in Him we live and move and have our being." 2 Corinthians 13:4, For though He was crucified through weakness, yet He liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in Him, but we shall live with Him by the power of God toward you. 1 John 4:9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Let me tell you something tonight, friend. My life is not in this flesh and blood here tonight. Yeah, I've got air in my lungs. Amen. And I've got a heartbeat tonight. But friend, ultimately my life is in Christ Jesus. Amen. As long as He's alive, I'm alive tonight. Amen. I'm glad He's given me life eternal tonight. Only through and by the Lord Jesus Christ. So in Christ, amen, is life. Are you in tonight? Are you in? Secondly, in Him is a family. As it's already been mentioned about family and how special family is, that is truly an important thing. See, because on this ark, there's only 8 souls that went onto that ark. One family. There was one family that went into that ark. Amen. And I begin to consider, amen, how you can be a part of a family. Obviously, you can be birthed into a family. Amen. We all know that that's true. These people out there today, they don't understand that. Amen. Amen. But you're birthed into a family. That's how it happens. Not only that, you can be bought into a family. Amen. You can be redeemed. Not only that, you can marry into a family. Amen. The Bible's very clear about the teachings of marriage. Amen. And one man, one woman for one lifetime. Amen. That's how God designed it. The man shall leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Amen. It's pretty plain, pretty simple. But yet, man, today they can't even figure that out. Amen. They try to pervert it and try to mess it up. Amen. So not only being married, but friend, you can be adopted into a family. And friend, I got to thinking about, how did Noah get in? How was he in the ark? How was he in? Amen. Let me tell you something. It was nothing other. Amen. Then over in chapter number 6 and verse 8, the Bible says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. Why was Noah in that ark? Amen. When the rest of the world was perishing, amen, under the wrath of an almighty God. Amen. It was the grace of God. And friend, it's the same today. Amen. We're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Amen. It's always been the grace. Amen. It's still the grace of God. Amen. That gives salvation to you and I. It's the grace of God. The Bible tells us in Titus chapter number 2, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Amen. That grace is a saving grace. It's a grace that saves us. It's a grace, amen, that's presented to us. It's a grace that's delivered to us in a way, friend, that we can understand. In a way, that's something we can't earn. You know what it means? It's the unmerited favor of God. And God says, I'm going to make it available for you. Amen. I know you can't work enough to get it, so I'm going to make it available to you. So we have saving grace. Amen. It's plus saving grace plus nothing minus nothing. It's the grace of God. But friend, there in Titus it says, for the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared unto all men. Verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Amen. Not only does His grace save us, but His grace teaches us. It teaches us to serve the Lord. Friend, we can't even do that on our own. Amen. It's God's grace, amen, that sustains us and teaches us to serve Him. You know what the grace of God does? It doesn't make it any easier for you to sin. Paul dealt with that in Romans. Romans chapter number 5, he talked about grace being free, the free gift of God. In verse 6, he said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, God forbid. Amen. The Bible teaches us that grace is a grace that don't make it easier for us to sin, or don't give us permission to sin, but that grace is one that teaches us. And by the way, any definition of grace that makes it easier for you to sin is not Bible grace. It's not the grace of God that the Bible teaches, but friend, the grace of God is a teaching grace. It's a saving grace. And the Bible teaches us here that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. Yeah, he done many works and he was building this ark, but friend, it was by the grace of God. It was the unmerited favor of God. Grace goes all the way back to whenever God clothed Adam and Eve there in the garden. He made coats of skins and clothed them. He showed grace on them. Amen. He gave them an opportunity, amen, to clothe themselves. Amen. Blood was shed. Friend, I'm glad it's always been through and by the blood. It's still through and by the blood tonight. We're talking about the family. Noah got in by the grace of God. So tonight we could ask, how do we get in? Well, I believe we've got it covered on all four examples I give you. We can be birthed into the family of God. Matter of fact, you must be born again. That speaks of regeneration. That speaks of not restoration. Restoration is whenever you take a car, amen, that's got rusty spots in it, and you try to sand it out, amen, you put Bondo on it, and friend, if you don't do just right, that rust is going to come back. Amen. Restoration, we're talking about regeneration. We're talking about making anew. The Bible teaches in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away. All things are become new. He makes a new man out of you. He makes a new person out of you. Amen. When God saves you. Amen. It's regeneration. He told probably one of the most religious people that ever was, old Nicodemus. He looked him in the eye and said, you must be born again. Not a pat on the back. Not seven steps to a better you. Amen. He said, you must be born again. Amen. It takes the power of God. Amen. To make a man into a new creature. Amen. And that's what God's in the business of doing. Amen. Birthing us into the family of God. It's something you can't forget, friend. I'm glad, friend, I've got a birth I can't remember, but friend, I've got one I can't forget. Thank God tonight you can be birthed into the family of God. Not only that, amen, you can be bought. This speaks of redemption. The Bible teaches us, amen, we have redemption through His blood and the forgiveness of sin. Amen. We was in the state of old Ruth. Her husband had died, and she was an outcast, amen, at this point. Didn't have no family. Her husband was gone. Didn't have no means of support, no means to take care of herself. And about the only thing she had facing was just to go back to her people down there in the pagan Moab. Amen. But I'm glad, friend, she went on down there to the place of God with Naomi. And she found that her kinsman redeemer was there. The one that not only was willing to redeem her, but friend, the one that was able. Amen. The one that was the kinsman redeemer. Amen. He didn't refuse to redeem her, but friend, he was able and he was willing to redeem her. I'm glad that Jesus Christ was willing to redeem me. He was willing to pay the price. Well, what was the price? It was His blood at the cross at Calvary. Amen. That redeemed me. Amen. He didn't do no half job. Amen. He didn't do no main job. You know, there in our Bible school, we talked about that lamb was kept from the 10th to the 14th day. Friend, there wasn't nothing wrong with it. Amen. He was spotless. Amen. Undefiled. Set apart from sinners. Amen. He was God's very best. And He gave His life for you and me. So that we could say tonight we're bought with a price. We're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We're bought tonight into the family of God. Not only that, we can be married into a family. Like I said, marriage has been so messed up today. The sanctity of marriage and how holy it is. Amen. It's something that they're brainwashing kids now. It's not only, you see, at one time, public schools, you know, the bad things that children learn in schools most of the time would come from other kids and stuff that they heard. And half the time it wasn't even right, just stuff they heard made up. That's the way it was when I was brought up. But now they're teaching this stuff through the school system and through the curriculum. And what an awful thing that is. And not only that, amen, just as soon as the child's able to set up, amen, they'll hand them a tablet or a phone. And from the very day that they're able to use a phone or a tablet, amen, they're indoctrinating with these things. And friend, we don't even know the half of it, what it's going to be like. A generation that's been raised totally up on, amen, the social media, and that's all they've ever known, is this indoctrination, perverting the family. We don't know what's going to happen. But friend, this is one thing I know, God's made it clear. Amen, God's made marriage clear. And friend, we could say tonight that we've been married into the family of God. Amen. We're waiting for that day where we're going to lay aside this old sinful flesh, and we'll be part of that spotless bride. They'll be presented before Him, amen. And we'll go in that way. Thank God. Not only that, you say, well, that's one family in there. You say, that's kind of narrow-minded. There's only one family. You know, the Bible talks about the children of Israel and how that they were God's chosen people. Well, don't worry about that, friend. He said, we can be grafted in. We're grafted in, amen. We've been adopted. Amen. We've been brought in contrary to nature. Amen. And I'm thankful tonight that I can stand and say, amen, I've been adopted in to the family of God. The Bible says, Galatians 4:4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. I'm glad, friend, for that adoption whereby we can cry, Abba, Father. Amen. We can know that we belong to Him. And there at one time I used to work in the court system. As a bailiff, you know, I was the guy that stood up there, and you're supposed to stand still, you know, and hand the papers back and forth. And I'm sure you've seen it on TV. You bring the prisoners in and out and so forth. Well, I was working adoption day one time. And they brought them young'uns up there and the families that would adopt them in. And that judge would stand there and say something like, I declare that these children are just as if they were born in to you as sons or daughters. And let me tell you something. When I heard that, it was all I could do to stand there and be still, amen, to think about how that God has declared, amen, that we are the sons of God, amen, and that we belong to Him. Amen. He's put His seal on us tonight. Amen. We know that, amen, we belong to Him. You know, one of the ways that we know we belong to Him? Because, friend, we have chastisement. He chastises those that belong to Him. He chastises us when we mess up. Another reason we can know that we belong to Him, we love the brethren. Amen. We love one another. Amen. There's many other ways that we can know. And one of the main ones is that whenever we're adopted, whenever God saves us and we're birthed into the family of God, He makes us a new creature in Christ Jesus. If you can look back on your life and there's never been a time when God changes you, amen, you've never been saved. He makes a change. We can know that we belong to Him. You see, I'm not with this idea that we're totally on the outside of what the Bible teaches about salvation. You got so many skeptics today who say, well, I just don't know, and we can't really know really what God's Word is. No, God wants us to know. That you may know that you have eternal life. Amen. I believe the Bible don't want us to be that group that's on the outside. Amen. That's outsiders. But God wants us to be the ones that are on the inside. Amen. And are aware of what's going on. I know what God did to me. He saved me. Amen. You should feel the same tonight. So thirdly tonight, not only is in Him is life, in Him is a family, but lastly, in Him is safety. I got to looking, as I was reading through here, the Bible talks here about the design of this ark. And I've heard people say that the dimensions are, pretty similar to how they build ships today. And I'm no shipbuilder, but, I believe that that's true. God knows what He was doing. Whenever He gave them the dimensions and designs, it's all proportional, and it done its job, and it done what it's supposed to do. In other words, it was a safe ride. Amen. It was something that you didn't have to worry about it folding in halfway through when the storms came up. Amen. I'm glad, friend, you can rely on what God has put us in. He's put us in, friend, to the church tonight. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'm glad that we can know we have that safety tonight in Him. And He talks about the pitch, that you pitch it within and without. And I read about that pitch and how it's the same word as atonement. Amen. To what God seals and what God covers up with His blood. Amen. It's a secure thing. It's something you don't have to worry about it. Amen. Leaking. Amen. But we know that we're safe in His blood and His atonement. And not only that, it talks there about covenant. He made a covenant with them. Amen. It wasn't that He struck up some deal with him and said, if you do this and I'll do that and then you'll be safe. No, God's the one that makes the promises. Because, friend, tonight, amen, that if we could stand up and say, well, God, if you do this, I'll meet you halfway. Friend, we'd never meet him halfway. We never do our part. And you say, well, yeah, we're saved by the grace of God and everything, but you got to do your part. Friend, you'd never be able to do your part. You'd never be able to make the mark. I'm glad that he's the one that does the promise making tonight. He's the one that makes the covenant, and he's the one that keeps his covenant. Amen. We're safe in his promises tonight, and not in the promises that we could try to make. And so as the waters begin to come up, after all the work that Noah had done, ultimately there in verse 16, the Bible says, and the Lord shut him in. God was the one that made the final seal. Yeah. Amen. It don't lie within our works. Amen. But God said, I'm the one that seals the deal. I'm the one, amen, that does the ultimate work. I'm the one, amen, that does it. Amen. And we can't do it ourselves tonight. And not only do we have safety in his covenant, we have safety in his blood, we have safety in the landing. In chapter number 8, the Bible says in verse 1, and God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. You think about that. Sometimes we feel like we're all alone. Whenever the waters are coming up and the things get the way they are in this old world, let me tell you something, God hadn't forgot about us. He's going to land a safe home one day. Amen. He's going to make sure we'll have a safe landing. Amen. So why should we worry about that? Amen. That's one more thing that we'd have to worry about. But I'm glad tonight we can know that we're going to have a safe landing. Are you in tonight? Are you in the grace of God? Are you in the body of Christ? Are you in the church? Are you in the ark? You could also preach this thought too. We could preach the ark is the church, and we're in Christ, and we're in safety. We're not going to have to endure the wrath of God. He's going to bring us through all that. But friend, we could also preach about when Noah was out there. And the Bible says he's a preacher of righteousness. We could preach tonight, the door's still open. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And he's the only one that can close that door. I didn't open the door up, but friend, he opened it up some 2,000 years ago at the cross at Calvary. He made not a way, but he made the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Amen. I appreciate the Lord tonight. Let us pray. God, we thank you, God, for all that you do for us. God, we thank you for your word. Thank you, God, for this church. And Lord, we're just so thankful, Lord, for what they mean for us and how good they are to us. We pray, God, that you go with us, be with our pastor, Miss Eve. Lord, you continue to help them. We're thankful for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.